Good evening. So tonight we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on Sfiras HaOmer. A little bit of the halacha, a little bit of the history, a little bit of the takeaway that we can think about during this period of time. Let's just get straight to the tshuva on page number one, which is the most common and I would say pressing need, as is evidenced from looking at the front cover of your Mar Makomos. Rav Moshe here in Chelek Dalet, in Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalet, Orachaim, Simen Kuf Beis, Giluach Bimei HaSfira UBimei Bein HaBetzarim B'Makom Hefsid. Rav Moshe writes this tshuva, the first day of Slichas, Tav Shin Chaf Beis, to Mar Shmuel Berger. Hinei, what's the din in the following case? Im Echad Osig Beisim Mischar L'Malacha. Somebody deals in business, somebody has a job, they have work. She'im lo yistaper, if the person doesn't shave, or take a haircut, as sekano, his beard, b'yimei ha'sfira, during the time of sfira, b'yamim shebein, yudzayim b'tamas l'tishbav, what we call 3 weeks. Yes, and we're going to come back to this parallel later. Between yudzayim b'tamas and tishbav, yellow hefsid mamon, he would lose his money, meaning it's not acceptable to go to work looking like this, and it would not be accepted in your place of business or in your practice or in your office. So Moshe writes, "Oz mutar ki lo noagu b'makom hefsid." It is permitted to take haircuts and shave because there was no minig in a case of hefsid. Moshe says, when it comes to Shavua Shechalbo, then there is no leniency because that's a din in the Gemara. So what do we learn?
Svardi. That he makes up.
Exactly. Well, the Svardim are taking it from the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses Shavua Shechalbo Tishma. So we learn from this, number one, that there are lots of people who are not shaving during this period, and it's because of this tshuva, this reason. But we also understand that the restriction against shaving and taking haircuts is rooted in a minhag. What minhag are we talking about? And that is the minhag that appears beginning on page number 2 in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tuf Tzadi Gimel, Dine HaNoag in the Sfiras HaOmer. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Noagim Shelo Lisa Isha Bein Pesach La'atzeres. It is a practice not to marry women between Pesach and Shavuos ad Lag BaOmer, until Lag BaOmer. Why? Mipnei, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shabaosu Zman, during that time, Mesu Talmidi Rabbi Akiva, turn the page, the Talmidi Rabbi Akiva died. And then a qualification here, that La'ars L'Kadesh Shaper Dami, so during this period, the Talmidi Rabbi Akiva died, and therefore we have a restriction on weddings. The next halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Noagin Shalola Histaper, and that's the minhag we just referenced in Rav Moshe. So we have a minhag not to have weddings, not to take haircuts and shave. And then the Magen Avraham here on the side, in the context of weddings and Sudas Erison, he says, in Tav Tzadik Gimel Aleph, Avalasis Rikudin U'Mecholo Shal Rishus Noagu Lesar. So Rikudin U'Mecholos, what is a machol? Circle dancing? Because a mechila and a machol are a circle. So having Rikudim dancing and circle dancing, we also don't allow. This is the origin of what we refer on a vernacular level to the issur of music, the minig not to listen to music during Sfira, which comes, the origin is in this Magen Avraham of having celebratory dances of rishus. So we have the minig not to have weddings, the minig not to have haircuts, and the minig not to have music during the spirit of Sfiras HaOmer. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is what appears in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis and Beis, that there were 12,000 pairs of students of Rabbi Akiva, and they died between Pesach and Shavuos. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now, just an interesting historical tidbit. The Gemara says that they died because of askara, which is some kind of disease. Although if you look in the Igeris of Rav Shmiragon, he quotes that they died because, in his nusach, he says, have a shmada al ha-talmidim. Shmad. So that shmada, that destruction, is that a religious shmad? Is that, wait a second, is that a shmad like dying in persecution? Maybe at the hands of people by the name of the Romans. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Rabbi Akiva supported a man, as the Rambam points out, and appears in the Yerushalmi as, that's right, Bar Kokhba. So there is some discussion in various journals and articles and sources as to maybe the connection of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim was not just what we describe as Shalom Noagu Kavod Zebezeh. They didn't share respect with each other, but maybe they were involved in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which was quashed by the Romans. So that's an interesting side. The other is that our Gemara has the Gersa that they were Mesu mi Pesach va'ad Atzeres, from Pesach till Shavuos. However, the Manig quotes that they died Mesu va'ad Pros Atzeres. And that's also, it appears here in the Vilna Gaon, in the Bir Hagra, in the name of a medrash, in the tiny letters at the bottom, Noachim. So what does pros mean? Literally means prusa, lifros, right? To break. So what is pros? So in halacha, we oftentimes refer to pros as half, meaning half a month. What is half a month? Pros atzeres would be half a month before Shavuos, like pros Pesach, half a month before. So that would be, how many days? 15 days. So if you take 49 days of the Omer and subtract 15 days, what are you left with? 34. And that is the origin of the various, some of the various minhagim that appear now in Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch himself said that our practice, his practice, was Lolisa Isha Ad Lag Ba'Omer, and not let it stop ad lag ba'omer. And then in Sif Beis he says, when are you allowed to get haircuts? Ve'ein lehistaper ad yom lad ba'boker. So 34th day. So Rav Moshe and Yitzhuva elsewhere in Chelek Aleph suggests that the majority follows the Ramah, which we'll get to in a second, that we're making on lag ba'omer. But the Shulchan Aruch was matron on lad ba'omer. Why on lad ba'omer? Right, well, if you take 49 and subtract 15, that day is Lag Ba'Omer. So it sounds like they stopped dying on Lag Ba'Omer, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, in the end of Sif Aleph, Miu mi Lag Ba'Omer ve'elach hakol sharui, quotes the Navu Dram. Why? Because he assumes that they start dying before pros, means they stop dying on Lag Ba'Omer. Great.
So this is almost like Tisha B'Av, or 9th of Av, did it burn for 2 days, or 10th okay. of Av, when can you start shaving that? Okay. I feel it's a similar thing.
So look at the Ramah now in Sif Beis, Uba Medinos Elu, in our hood, Ein Noagin Kedvarav, we don't follow the Shulchan Aruch, Ela Mistaprim B'Yom Lag, on the 33rd, Umar B'Mo Ketzah Simcha, Ve'im B'Mo Einor B'Mo Tachnun, and you should make sure to wait until that day. However, in the Ramah in Sif Gimel, he quotes a different minhag. Miu nogin baharmi mekomos nogin lehistaper ad rosh chodesh iyar. There are those who have the practice to be mistaper until rosh chodesh iyar, and not after.
The second
class. Va'os lo yistaper mi lag ba'omer ve'elach. Even though it's mutar on lag ba'omer. And then there are other minhagim that Achronim quote. There are some who have the minhag to not shave and take haircuts and make weddings at all between Pesach and Shavuos, except for the days that we don't say Tachanun. How many days do you think that is? 33. Why?
Wow.
Because The assumption is not that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on the day, the 33rd day or the 34th, or after the 33rd day. It's that they died for a period of 33 days. So all of those days that are not celebratory days, like Chol HaMoed, like Shlosh Yetzimei HaGbala, like Rosh Chodesh, so those two shitas are both following the idea that it has something to do with 33, either the 33rd day, and then they stopped dying, or they stopped dying on the 33rd day, or there were 33 days of dying. But the Taz here quotes other minhagim that continue these quasi-avelos practices after the Rosh Chodesh Iyar, after Lag BaOmer, and he's trying to figure out, well, what's going on here? And he says, I'll give you a hint. You know what it is? Take a look in the underline here on page 3, on the right-hand side, the Taz. He says, "Duvadai ha'ikar sha'achar Lag BaOmer lo mesu." The main thing is they actually did not die after Lag BaOmer. Rather, "Va'afilu hachi noagin k'tzas avelus machmas gzeras tatnu shahisa ba'ashkenaz bein Pesach la'atzeres." You know why in Ashkenaz we're very sensitive? It's because of what we call Gezeros Tatnu. What are the Gezeros Tatnu? The Crusades. Mm. 1096 Tatnu. When did those happen? So all you have to do is fast forward. It's not nice to talk about it now, but fast forward to Tisha B'Av. You open the kinos. The kinos, we have two traditional kinos that we say about the Crusades. One of them is Tacharishu, the other one is called Miyitin Roshi Maim. And in there, the kinos identify three major communities, Spire, Mines, and Worms, and gives dates in Iyar and Sivan when these communities were destroyed. Which is why, let's say last week in Shul, right, it was last week, that even though, technically speaking, we wouldn't have said Avarachamim, I think this is the Cheshbon. We wouldn't have said Avarachamim because it was Erev Rosh Chodesh last Shabbos? 2 weeks ago,
no,
Shabbos?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. But we did say Avarachamim. Why?
Sure.
Why on Sphira do you say Avarachamim?
Every
other time in the year when you don't say Tachanun, you don't say Avarachamim. What does that have to do with Sphira? Well, when is the period of time that Avarachamim is addressing? Who Yizkor of Rachamim, who Kihilos HaKodesh and Masur Nafsham. Who are we referring to? The Crusade communities. So that's why we say Avarachamim in Ashkenazi communities, even when you don't say Tachanun in this period of time. If you look on the next page, on page 4, you'll see the communities themselves actually had specific fast days observed. You see the Maharil on the top, early, like late Rishon, like 14th century in Ashkenaz. Third line, the Maharil in Hilchos Shavuos, b'magensa omrim tchina agimel sivan, why ki gimel sivan nisanim sham b'chol shana. They would have a special fast on the third day of Sivan in Mainz every year. Why? And look in the Sefer Minhagim next to Rav Avram Kloisner, Rabbi J.J. Schachter shared these sources with me. But Magensa, Ein Omrim Bishum Shabbos Avrachimim Kiim Bishabbos Kodim Shavuos. The only time that in Magensa, in the entire year, that they said Avrachimim was during this period.
Was that true up to like the Holocaust?
So, in addition to what you're pointing out, Don, it's not just that they had that. They also had, this was actually from a later period from the Rabbi Nutam, they had a Tanis on Chaf Sivan. And that was not related to these communities. That was related to a different massacre in 1170, the massacre in Blois. Later, it was adopted in connection with the Chmelnytsky massacres. I think the first Chaf Sivan was Rabbi Nutam for the massacre in Blois, I believe. But later, it was instituted, and many point out that Sivan practice of fasting on Chaf Sivan continued until before the Holocaust. Now, one parenthetical note here, which is very interesting. In the beginning of the 1950s, there was a great debate about Yom HaShoah. Right? As you know, Yom HaShoah was not established by the Rabbanut, it was established by the Knesset. According to the Rabbanut, the day to observe memorials for the Holocaust is Yom HaKadish HaKlali, which is Asar B'Tavis. Mm. Not Yom HaShoah and not Tisha B'Av. Asar B'Tavis is Yom HaShoah HaKlali, yes, in Israel to this day. But what was one of the big sticking points about Yom HaShoah was, wait a second, the Kinos quote, something like that. You can't add other fast days, other mourning days. So others disputed that, and they said, what are you talking about? That's not true. We had Chav Sivan that many European communities did observe. So the idea of adding a fast day is linked into this whole question. So now that we understand, number one, the origins of these minhag and these practices, as having to do, number one, with Rabbi Akiva, and number two, also with the Crusade massacres, we can see how the question that we started with, Rav Moshe's question, and how you compare the days of Sfira to the days of the Bein HaMetzarim is a complicated one. And I think it's reflected in this last tshuva that I want to see together. Take a look on this next page, on page 5. This is in Yechavadas, in Chelek Aleph, from Rav Avadya's first volume of Thin Tshuvas in Yechavadas, She'ela. Ha'im mutar levarich she'echiyanu b'imei sviras ha'omer al pri chadash o al beged chadash. What would you say? Is it mutar to say she'echiyanu on a new fruit or on a new article of clothing during Sfira?
That's how expensive the clothing
is. Okay, good. That's a general question that determines whether you say she'echiyanu or not. So what would you say before we start the tshuva?
You're not in a global period of mourning. There's a minute for a few specific things not to do. You don't do that. There's no reason to assume you can't do something else.
Okay, good. Any other thoughts? It's always good.
Plus, just even from a practical level, this is exactly when the new fruits are coming out. How, what are you going to tell people they can't eat? Like, this is harvest season.
Well, I guess for some fruits, yes. But for most fruits, it's still early. Right? Most fruits, it's still early.
But to be fair, apples
in October.
Right? And you're bringing, I mean, the stuff they're going to be bringing in another...
Right, so maybe you have to wait. Maybe you have to wait 3 weeks.
Wait 3 weeks.
Maybe. So what would you say? Well, let's go back. Rav Moshe, in his tshuva, what did he do? He mentioned the kula about shaving during this period and during the 3 weeks. So one might draw a parallel and say, well, just like there are restrictions against the 3 weeks, against shaving and she'echiyanu, so perhaps you should carry that over. And that's where Rav Avadya starts. He says, L'chur yesh lomo din zeh, v'mashakos of marana shulchan aruch, sh'tov li'zor lomo b'rich ha'she'echiyanu al-pichado sh'amal chadash, shulchan aruch in hilchus Tisha B'Av and Tavkof Nun Aleph in the 3 weeks. B'yom Shabain Yud Zayin B'Tamuz Yom Tisha B'Av. Why Mibnei Shem Yimei Evel V'Tzar Li Yisrael? And you shouldn't say Shechiyanu V'Kiyanu Menugan L'Azman Hazeh. And so perhaps it's not proper to say Shechiyanu. And that he quotes from the Sefer Chasidim and the Tshuvas Binyamin Zev. You know, Rav Avadya's, once he quotes everybody. And he quotes, he says Lefichach. So perhaps based on this idea that there are so many sources to support the Shulchan Aruch's minig not to say Shechiyanu during the 3 weeks, perhaps you should also say not to say Shechiyanu. Why? Because Shem Yimei Puranus Umidas Hadin Mesucha Bahem. And he quotes this from the Tshuvas of the Ololos Ephraim. The Ololos Ephraim is the author of the Kli Yakar, Rav Ephraim of Lunchitz. So Rav Ephraim of Lunchitz accepted this idea and said you should not say any Shechiyanus. And that may be in light especially of the influence of the Ashkenazi practice of commemorating the Crusade massacres. So these are, in a certain sense, Yimei Puranios. However, says Rav Avadya, ulam la'achar is bonus nearish yishchila gadol bein meha mitzaron le'meha sefira. He says there's a big difference. He says that the truth is that the yimei bein hamitzaron, those are hardwired, according to the Mishnah, as yimei ason, historical yimei ason for the Jewish people, and therefore you don't want to say lazman hazeh. But yimei sefira, says Rav Avadya, inherently are not yimei peronios, quite the opposite. What are we, if you look at it macro level, step back, we started with a holiday. We end with an... Let's look at Sukkot for a second. You have 7 days of a holiday. You end an eighth day is Atzeres. Well, we started with a holiday of 7 days. And then we're going to end with an Atzeres. It's just, it's going to take us 49 days to get there from the beginning of the holiday to the end. But Pesach and Shavuos are really a parallel to Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. You have a holiday of 7 days and an Atzeres. Just this one, you have an elongated period. So he quotes from the Ramban, halfway down the paragraph. They are Kedushas Yemei HaSfira Kimei Chol HaMoed. They are similar to the Yemei Chol HaMoed. And therefore, he quotes from the Ma'amar Mordechai to allow Shechianu. He says that's the minhag. And he quotes from Rav Yitzchak Lopranti from the Beis Yitzchak and Ikari Hadat and the Karen LeDavid and a bunch of other tshuva svarim. Shekein Pasha Kamin Pasha Pasha Ramin goes on stage to allow Shechianu on a Pri Chadash during the period of Sfira. However, he says, go to the bottom paragraph, Ach, maybe that's Chassidus to Rav Yosef Yuspa in the Sefer Yosef Ometz. That what? What does Rav Yosef Yuspa say? Rav Yosef Yuspa says, we're going to be machmir not to wear a beged chadash when? Biyom Rosh Chodesh Iyar Ve'elach. Nogen lachmir shalol lobosh beged chadash. Why does the Yosef Ometz say, by the way, he was a Rav in Germany, why does he say Dafka Miyom Rosh Chodesh Iyar Ve'elach and not during the first period of the Sefira? Well, because in German communities we see the influence of the intensity of the Crusade massacres. So says Rav Avadya, even though Me'ikar Adin, it's Motu to Say Shechianu, and it's totally Motu to Say Shechianu L'maisa on a Pri Chadash, if you want to be Machmir, you can be Machmir as a Midas Chasidus on a Beged Chadash. And he builds it off of this Rav Yosef Yuspa, Me Rosh Chodesh V'ir Ve'elach. Why Rosh Chodesh V'ir Ve'elach? Very likely because of our mindfulness of the history of the Crusades. Now, he does expand it to the Sfaradi Gaonim from Chaim Falaji and his son Rav Yitzchak Falaji in general in Yemei HaSfira, and he quotes it from other tshuvas. I never heard of his Torah, Yekusiel. However, he quotes many Achronim who are Mekel, and therefore he says, Kishiyesh Tzorech, you can wear the Beged Chadash. The best thing is to wear it on Shabbos, Shibisoch HaSfira, and then you can make your Shechianu. And similarly, V'chein, B'makom Simchas Bar Mitzvah U'Bris Mila B'Meh HaSfira Yesh L'Hakal B'Zeh B'Pshitos. If somebody has a Bris or a Bar Mitzvah that falls out during Sfira, there is a reason to be Mekel to allow a person to wear a Beged Chadash.
It's just only things for Shechianu. I wonder if you want to buy like new appliances or if you want to buy jewelry or something like that. Apply the same thing as it would to Beged and to Pri, whether it's 3 weeks or 9 days or...
So Shechianu is...
Specifically Shechianu.
Yeah, so Shechianu, I would say most people are more likely to say Shechianu on an appliance than they are to on an article of clothing.
Or on new jewelry or...
Right? Yeah, think about it. When a person buys a suit, I don't want to say, you know, anything about people who buy, you know, different price suits, but my suits, I, at least in recent history, have not risen to the level of Shechianu. You know, $100 or $200 for a suit, that's not a Shechianu. But if you get an appliance, that's
the level.
So that's a good question. Poskim have, you know, there are different poskim have different perspectives on how significant it is. You buy a car, for sure you have to say Shechianu. Buy a new house. Perhaps if you buy a new oven, if your oven costs $1,000, you probably won't say shachrian, you probably say atova meitiv.
Is it on the person or the item? Because you could be a poor person, you get a $100 suit, and it's like the suit, and it's like the best thing in the world, question. So that's the shachrian worthy, as opposed to...
It's a great question.
You know.
We're actually just wrapping up now.
All right, so we missed it. So, hey, Marv?
I don't think we're going to do Marv. I think we're going to...
All right.
But thank you. So that is a subjective question. I don't remember what the post can say about poor people and relative, but in general, if you have an expensive item, so you're going to recite a Shachianu on that expensive item. If it's for multiple people, it's going to be a Tova Meitiv. But the idea that Rav Avadya is telling us is that you could see the number one, the question that it's mitam minug and trying to navigate the different minhagim in different places, but also the influence of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva and the influence of the massacres of the Crusades on this period of time as it's reflected in these different minhagim. Just to close with one, a different machshava. So we have a tradition that they died because the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva Shalom Nagu Kavod Zebezer. And the notion that they were specifically Talmid of Rabbi Akiva is not lost on us. I once heard a beautiful vort from Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, who observed that he's the former chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, that Rabbi Akiva was Isha Eshkolos, the Gemara says. He was the master of Torah Shebaal Peh. Every different aspect he had. He had medical halacha, and Kabbalah, and Machshava, and Drush, and everything. But because he was so diverse, different students picked up on different pieces. And what that led to was factionalism. Was a fractious group of students who said, oh, you think Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Machshava? No. He was a Baal Halacha. You don't know what you're talking about. You thought he was a philosopher? No. He was really into Drush. V'chahina v'chahina. And they didn't appreciate the fact that Rabbi Akiva was not one of those things, but all of those things. And that was a pshat of lo'nagu kavod zebezeh. They didn't understand that there can be multiple facets to Torah. And that's something that we can think about as we go through our lives as B'nai Torah, recognizing that there are and there can be different approaches to Torah. You know, HaKol Nitnu B'Roa Echad, they all come from Moshe Rabbeinu, they all come from Rabbi Akiva. He was the conduit for Torah Shebaal Peh, as he famously established after the death of his 24,000 students, five primary new students who established Torah Shebaal Peh. But to recognize that there are 70 facets to Torah and each one has its place is something that we can appreciate this time. It's a few reflections in school. That's right.
It's a different school. Absolutely.